Welcome to the OA Light a Candle Meeting Podcast. Visit our website at oalaig.org, where you'll find several speaker feeds with over 400 speaker files, forms for ordering CDs for these speakers, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. I would now like to introduce our speaker for tonight, Jackie. Hi, I'm Jackie. I'm a compulsive overeater. Wow, okay. I'm nervous. I'm really grateful to be here, though. I have this thing where I'm like, if I'm nervous beforehand, I get up here and I'm not nervous. And like, so today I wasn't nervous at all until I stood up here and started looking at all you people. So, okay, now that I said that, I'm not nervous. Okay. Welcome to our newcomers, and happy birthday, ladies. It's awesome. I am so grateful for this program. I have about 5.5 years, and my abstinence date is also my sobriety date. It's February 28, 2011, and I've worked all steps twice, currently working on my third time because I'm still crazy, and I sponsor women, and I brought one of my sponsees with me today. So grateful that she's here, and I brought a bunch of friends, too. I mean, that's why I'm still in this program is them, you know, the sponsees and the sponsor and my friends, you know, like I had nothing in my life before this program. I didn't have any friends. I didn't have any reason to live. And today I have a reason to live. And that's why I keep coming back. So I have had some success in weight loss. I've lost over 200 pounds in this program. But you'll hear my story. What happened was I lost all my weight, but I didn't work a program. So, I was 400 pounds and 200 pounds and still as crazy as I was then. Still had the same mean head that told me I was bad and I wasn't going to succeed in anything. And, like, that's, you know, when I had to start working the program, you know. So I'll start from the beginning. I'm from New Jersey originally. And I grew up in a really nice family. Had everything I ever really could ask for. I'm a middle child, which was my first problem. And, you know, I had a younger sister, older brother. So when my sister was born, it was like the worst day of my life. Because all the attention that I had, and I had so much attention, you know, it was enough. It really was all put on my sister. And I honestly believe that I got enough in my family. I just am born with this needing more syndrome, you know. I just needed more of everything. I needed more toys. I needed more crayons. I needed more stuffed animals. So then it turned into more food. And I remember when I was 8 years old, my parents started worrying about my weight because I think my earliest memory of having a food problem was maybe 3 years old when I was never satisfied with what was in front of me on my dinner plate or whatever it was. Always wanted more snacks, always wanted more sugary desserts, and so I went to see a nutritionist when I was 8, and that sucked because I was 8 years old, and then she told me I had to eat differently than my peers, and I had to, like, eat. My mom would make my lunches, and she'd give me, like, dry turkey sandwiches and carrot sticks, and sometimes if I was lucky, I would get apples with cinnamon on it. And then I would be in school and see the kids eat, my peers eating, like, really fun things, like Twinkies and, like, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and, like, Gushers and, all, you know, like the Gushers are really fun. Like, why can't I eat them, you know? So I already felt very, like, uncomfortable in my skin. I felt like I wasn't meant to be in this planet, you know, like, or somebody dropped me off here one day and didn't give me a map or a guide on how to live here. And I felt like that from 3 years old. So I already felt weird enough and different. And now I have to start eating differently than these other people. So I hated that. And but my weight was a problem. And I don't think my family knew how to deal with an overweight child at that time. And I, you know, got through school, and I was, I think I tried, like, Jenny Craig and Weight Watchers a lot with my mom. My mom is definitely, I don't know, actually, not definitely, that's very, like, finite. She could use this program, you know? So I would go on diets with her, and they'd work for a month, and then I would be like, I'm done. I did it. You know, a month, I lost 30 pounds, or I lost 10 pounds, or whatever, and I'm good. I want to be a kid again, you know, a teenager. I want to, you know, enjoy my life. And then, you know, I'd still be unhappy because what was happening was I was fixing my outside appearance. I wasn't fixing the inside stuff, and I didn't know that until I got to OA. So I kept trying so many different ways to try and fix my outsides. Like, I don't know, like the clothes I would wear, the friends I would have, the hobbies that I had, what I wanted to do in my life. And, you know, I just never was comfortable, basically. So I went to college, and before college, my whole, like, my life was very micromanaged, like, especially the food. And so when I went to college, it was like a free-for-all. Like, there was nobody telling me what to do. I didn't have a nutritionist. I didn't have my mom or my dad policing. My dad was, like, the biggest police officer with my food, and he would say the meanest things to me. And I know now that was, like, his way of helping, trying to help me, but I just had so much shame about how I looked. And then I blamed my being overweight and being unhappy on my parents, and the reason why for everything was because I'm overweight, because I'm morbidly obese. That's why I'm not doing this or that or this or that. So that's what I did in college, and I gained about 100 pounds in the first semester really easily, because I, you know, there were food opportunities at 24/7, and food was my solution then, and I got through school somehow. It was an outside issue that I got through school. That we talk about in other meetings. And those laughing know what I'm talking about. Anyway, let's see. I became kind of depressed in college because the food kind of stopped working a little bit, and I started seeing a therapist, and she put me on all this medication. I'm like, okay, well, this is what I needed, you know? Like, this is going to fix me. Like, I just feel like the theme of my life was, what can fix me? Like, give me something outside of myself that can fix me. Like, I need a new doctor. I need a new drug. I need a new diet. I need plastic surgery. I need a new car. I need a new boyfriend. I need, you know, it's like, it was never like, what am I doing? Like, what's the common denominator is me, you know? So I, was kind of depressed. I got antibiotics and, not antibiotics. What did I get on? Antidepressants. Whatever. I was probably on those too, okay? and yeah, I just, like, did nothing. You know, I graduated college, and I lived in Connecticut at that point, and I had a job that was, it was outside sales, and when you take everything personally, being an outside sales rep is the worst job you can do. Literally. I would cry and go home and cry because no one wanted to buy newspaper subscriptions from me. And I, like, really took it personally. And I was like, why am I doing this? Like, I had no idea what I wanted to do. And then it started getting in the way of the way I wanted to live my life, which was playing video games and watching Netflix. And I don't know if Netflix was around then, but you know what I mean. And just, like, eating myself to death. And that's really what I wanted to do. I really didn't want to do life. And that's what happened. Like, I just never really grew up. You know, at some point, I started using the food so much that it stunted my growth. It stunted me wanting to grow up and be an adult and have a life and have a career, have relationships. You know, I just decided to give up one day. I don't know when it was, you know, but at that point, my life got really, really small. And again, I was looking for a new therapist or nutrition counselor or personal trainer. I had a life coach. Like, it was just, you know, my family helped throw money at anything, basically, just to make me happy. And So I was in Connecticut living there, and then I was messing with my psych meds, and one day I had a really sick codependent relationship with this girl who was just ate just like me, so I loved having her around. She also was really good at baking, so I kept her around for that. And she didn't come home when she said she would, like, for like 3 days, because we were both active in alcoholism too and other things, and I went crazy. Like, I relied so heavily on her and on my food that I didn't want to live anymore. So I went into the bathroom and I cut all my hair off, and it was like this. Big, and for people on the recording, it's really big and curly and a lot of hair. So I'm Jewish, so there it is. Okay. So I didn't want to really die. I just wanted to make a statement, you know, and I didn't know that that's what it was at the time. I thought I was just so depressed, you know. So I cut all my hair off, and then my therapist is like, you need to go to a psych hospital. And so I went to a psych hospital for like a week, and it was during Halloween because I remember eating all the Halloween candy there. Like, that's all my memories are around food. That was never, but it was never like, maybe my food's the problem. It was never like, maybe I'm 350 pounds at that point. Maybe that's the problem, you know? I would never look at that because I never wanted to let go of my food. My food was my best friend. My food was the solution. It was what I needed to get through this crazy, scary life that I hid out from. I wasn't even living my life. I was hiding from it. So my parents moved me back to New Jersey, thought it would be safer for me there, but I proceeded to do the same thing for another 2 years and then reached 400 pounds. My life turned into, my hair grew back. But my life turned into an agoraphobic existence. I was afraid to leave my house. I was afraid to, I didn't have a job for about those 2 years. People would come to my house to help me, like, clean my apartment, including my mom, who helped me so much. And I would order food for at least like 5 different meals for just me, and I would pretend there were people in my apartment when they came to deliver it, because, you know, I'd be like, the Chinese food's here, guys, and I'd be talking to my cat, you know. It was just really sad, and I just don't want to go on like that anymore, you know. So I started thinking, maybe I do have a problem with food. Maybe I can't stop when I want to stop. And that's when it stopped working again too. And I would try to stop and control my overeating by throwing things out in the garbage can. And then 20 minutes later, I would be back in the garbage can going through and finding it. And like, it doesn't count. It's on the top, you know. Like, I didn't put the cat litter in yet, you know. I would eat, you know, I was in Jenny Craig again, and I would buy all the food and eat it all in one day, and then have to go food shopping, and then eat all that food. And I'm like, what is the point? Like, what am I doing, you know? And, like, what are the crazy things that I do? I don't know. But I, again, was seeing doctors, psychiatrists. I was in an IOP program, and I would leave there and go to, like, the best fast food restaurant and binge on the way home. And then when I got home, I had, like, all my favorite binge places within 3 miles of my apartment. I had like a path, you know, like that's what I had to do if I left my house, you know, when I had to, when my family wanted me around, when they, you know, were like, Jackie, come have dinner with us. I would eat before going to meet with them, and then I would have dinner with them, and then I would leave and I would eat again. It was like, I was never satisfied. No amount of food ever filled me up. And there were times where I ate so much that I just had to lose my food. You know, I had to. I was never really, I never considered myself like a purger, but it was just, it would just come out, you know? And I hated the way I looked. I hated my life. And I call my mom every night, and cause I couldn't sleep, and I'd say, Mom, I want to die. I feel like there's this black cloud following me around everywhere, and I don't know how to make it go away. And my poor mom, like, I spent a weekend with her, I think last weekend we went to Arizona on this, like, spiritual retreat, and she told me that time for her, like, she's able to talk to me like this because I've had so much recovery now, and it's okay, like, for her to be honest. She's like, that was the hardest part of my life, my mom's life, and she was struggling in her marriage, her second marriage, and also struggling with my father. And she remembers one time when I went to the psych hospital a second time, she left crying in her car and was just crying and screaming to God. I guess like she didn't really believe in God, but whatever. And she's like, I feel so alone. I feel like I can't help her. I can't fix her. And I like cried when she told me the story, because that's how I felt. I felt so alone. I felt like I couldn't fix myself. I went to this life coach who told me to go to OA, and I was like, what? And she said, OA, like, you know, people who have problem with food, like people with alcoholism, they go to OA. I'm like, well, I don't want to like be a Jesus person or anything. I can't wear, like, I can't do that, you know? So offensive. I'm sorry. But I didn't want to do that, you know? So I went to my OA meeting because she threatened me. Basically, she's like, you're not coming here anymore until you go to OA. And I'm like, well, I got to keep going to you because you're helping me so much, you know? So I went to the OA meeting, and it was a bunch of really, really older women. And they were not fat at all. They were just normal size. And it was in a church. I knew it, you know. I mean, why could it be in a temple, you know? Like, whatever. So I walked in and immediately was scared out of my mind. I was just like, oh, my gosh. And they're like, welcome. We love you. Keep coming back. I'm like, you don't even know me. Stop. You know? Like, God. But that was, yeah. So I gave them my number, which was a huge mistake. If you're new, do that, okay? It was not a mistake. Just saying. That's a little disclaimer. So after I left the meeting, I was called by those women for 2 weeks, and they kept interrupting my binges. And I wanted nothing to do with them, because they talked about their lives and how wonderful it was, and I just didn't believe them. I didn't believe, like, I just couldn't believe that they found a solution with their food, that they were able to go around life and not obsess about food all the time and not have to eat till they throw up or not have to eat till they're uncomfortable, and to actually have lives and have relationships and have jobs and have careers. And I was like, I don't believe you. Like, I just don't believe you. So I didn't go back until I went to treatment for my emotional problems, I'm quoting, because it was just so bad. And I went there, and they're like, you're going to be on the eating disorder track. And I'm like, what? I don't have an eating disorder. I literally will eat anytime. I've never been anorexic. You see, like, because I was a sheltered person, obviously. I didn't know what eating disorder was. I thought eating disorders were people who had tubes in their arms or in a hospital who weren't eating, you know? And I'm like, I'll take that one. Like, I want to stop eating, you know? So I, for some reason, became willing, you know, slowly. And I went to this treatment. I was there for 45 days. And then I was sent to a secondary treatment in California, in Southern California. And that's where I was introduced again to OA. And I was like, really? Like, you know? That's how this program works? Yeah? Okay. So I went to OA, and I was told I had to get a sponsor. I had a sponsor in the other program, and I just was so unwilling. Like, I'm like, I'll be sober. I won't drink or do drugs, but I'm going to eat whatever I want. I'm sorry, you know? And I started seeing a nutritionist at this treatment center, and she was saved my life. She put me on a meal plan that started working. I still didn't want to work the program, but I was going to meetings. I started sharing in meetings. I shared a lot, and I started working the steps a little bit. And then for about 3 years, And then I lost all that weight. I lost 200 pounds in about three years just by following a meal plan. And I was like, I don't have to work this program, you guys. Like, I was still going and bragging about how great my life is because I'm a smaller version of myself. But I was still having inappropriate relationships. I was still lying. I was still cheating. I was still working part-time jobs that weren't fulfilling. I was working in a movie theater for, like, 3 years. And, I mean, I really like movies, so I got free movies and stuff. And we also got free popcorn, but that wasn't really that good for me. So anything free, you know. And I just felt the same way again, the same way I felt in that apartment with my cat, being afraid to do anything. And I'm like, this is as good as my life's going to get, right? Like, that's, like, I've already lost all my weight, and you would think I would finally decide to work a program, but I didn't. I decided to get surgery to remove the extra skin off my stomach, because that was going to fix me, because if I felt more comfortable with my body, I would be more comfortable in my life, right? So I got the surgery, and it was really hard. It was like a month of recovery, and I had some of the friends I have here that were there to help me. And so I went into the surgery really, really, like, hoping that it would change the way I feel about my body and the way I feel about life, and it would fix that would just fix everything. But what happened was I had, like, a spiritual experience, like, a legit, like, I had to sit still for, like, 2 weeks and not move, like, because of all the stitches and stuff, and had to rely on other people. I had to rely on OA and my friends and to make meals for me, to come and bring me meetings, and I was so uncomfortable. I called my sponsor. She's like, Jackie, like, this is a good lesson for you to be still and to accept God and to accept help and to have patience. I'm like, I have never had patience in my life. And I had to sit there. And if I moved around, I would have torn something or had to, you know, had a hernia or whatever. And because of that, what happened was instead is that I learned that my body never mattered, and that it was about the stuff on the inside. And it was like, look at all these people showing up for me. Look at how great my life's turning to be. And it didn't happened because my stomach was a different side. It happened because I saw that people really loved me and that people really showed up for me and that this program was starting to work, you know? And I'm so grateful for that. Like, that God gave me the opportunity when I went into it with such a stinky attitude. Thank you. I started working the steps for realsies this time. And my sponsor is Roz, and she's still my sponsor today. So she started taking me through the steps, and it was every step was life changing. Like, when I made my amends, when I wrote my fourth step, when I made an amends to myself, and that was amazing. And, like, I started loving the person in the mirror. And I was still the same weight. Like, I got skin removed off my body, and I was still the same weight. Like, so it was really didn't do anything. And I just started loving life, you know, and I started loving myself. I started being a part of life. I started sponsoring, and, you know, and like, it's been about 2 years since then, and my life has changed drastically. I have never been so comfortable in my body before. I have never been so confident and so, like, right with, like, myself, and, like, I mean, I'm so grateful for my life today and for the people in it and for the program, the 12-step program, and the relationship I have with my higher power is incredible, and he is so funny. Like, I need God higher power reminders, like nobody's business. I'm really dramatic, so my higher power has to be really dramatic too. So I recently, I'll finish with this story and then I'll open up for questions. Recently got out of a relationship that was starting to pull me back into, like, that old behavior of not wanting to do anything with my life and wanting to, like, isolate and, like, because, you know, he was a lot like me back then, and I had to overeat to get at his level emotionally, and I I'm really glad I figured that out and had, like, helping my friends figure that out. And I had so much fear, though, of hurting him, of being alone, of, like, whatever. Like, I think I can still control my life, but I forget that God has everything planned out anyway, and I just have to sit back and, like, do the footwork, you know? So when I decided to end the relationship, it was, like, 2 weeks where I didn't do it yet. and it was just miserable. I felt, like, horrible, and I felt like, why am I doing this program? Like, what's the point, you know? And my sponsors both kept saying, they're like, just replace your fear with faith. Just replace your fear with faith. And I'm like, okay. Just replace your fear with faith. So I finally ended the relationship and had a lot of support from it. And then, oh, sorry, before that, my apartment complex, there's an underground parking garage, and I have a assigned parking spot. And where I walked to go to the stairs up to my apartment, I was walking for these 2 weeks, and I saw a fortune on the floor, but it was turned over, so I couldn't see what was written on it. And I kept seeing it. I'm like, who littered that? Like, what the, you know? But I just didn't really care, and I just kept walking by for those 2 weeks. And so the 2 days after I ended the relationship, I parked in my parking spot in my apartment complex, and I got out of the car, and I went to the passenger side of my door, which I don't usually do at all. Like, I just had a lot of bags I needed to get. And I looked down at the floor, and in my assigned parking spot was that fortune that I'd been seeing, which was kind of, like, 4 feet away from where it originally was. And I'm like, well, I've got to read it now, you know? Like, obviously someone's trying to tell me something. So I picked up the paper and the fortune, and it said, replace fear with faith. And I was like, really? And I just started crying. I was like, oh my God. Like, I could have seen that at any time those past 2 weeks, but God wanted me to see it finally after I had replaced my fear with faith. Because I believe that my life would be okay. Like, I would be okay, and my life will get exponentially better, and that I will be okay if I continue to work this program, if I continue to replace any fear with faith, that I'm going to be okay. Like, no matter what. I don't need food to tell me that anymore. I have such a different relationship with food today. I don't, you know, I eat 3 meals a day and a snack, and I try to only eat when I'm hungry, and I do struggle sometimes with overeating. But I know no amount of food will ever make me feel the way that made me feel, and what makes me, and the feelings that I get when I'm in a meeting talking about my recovery and helping my sponsee and, having those God shot moments and, like, just being filled with love. And, I think it's so incredible, you know, like, I don't know where I'd be without this program. I would probably be dead. The way I was eating, I would be, like, over 900 pounds in a hospital and dying, you know? So I'm really, really grateful to be here tonight, and thank you so much for listening. I think we have like 5 minutes for questions. Okay. Oh, sorry.
How are your parents now different with you and before?
Okay, I'll repeat your question. She asked, how are my parents different now with me after these 5 years? Okay, thank you for that question. I have the best relationship with my mom. It's been hard sometimes because she knows I don't weigh myself. And I was really struggling when I was on this vacation with her. And I'm like, Mom, don't let me weigh myself. Like, I'm like, she could help me. I was like calling and I'm like, I don't want to do that. And then she, like, the next day was, like, weighing herself in front of me, and I'm like, really, Missy? Like, come on. that's her name, sorry. You know, she just doesn't get it, but she loves me and supports me so much, and she cries when we talk about this because she was hopeless, and now when she talks about me to people who ask about me, she lights up, and she's like, I'm so happy. Like, I don't have to worry about Jackie. She's doing great, you know. And my dad, I have a great relationship with him, too. We get along really well. He has a lot of opinions, and he's a nut. Like, my brother and him don't speak, and that's kind of difficult, but I accept him for who he is, and we have a great relationship because of that. So thanks for asking that.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Was it difficult for you to start working two programs at the same time?
Okay, question was it difficult for me to start working two programs at one time? It was because I see this happening still in my recovery where I spend more time, like when I'm working harder in one program, the other one kind of like falls by the wayside a little bit, and I have a hard time still finding a balance with the two. But it was really easy for me to work my other my AA program because I wasn't willing to do the food stuff. Like, I was willing to follow a meal plan, but I'm so grateful that I had that that baseline for the 12-step program. What made it easier for me to eventually work the OA program in the right way. I think if I did it simultaneously, it wouldn't have been as beneficial for me. That answer your question? Okay.
How do you sort of define, or would you give advice to the difference between overeating and a binge?
I love that question. He asked, what's the difference between overeating and a binge? Well, I overeat still because I'm not perfect. I can't ever have a perfect meal plan. If I demanded that of myself, I would jump off a bridge. Like, you know. So overeating to me, and this is my opinion, it's, you know, just mine, just Jackie's. So don't kill me when afterwards, whatever. But, overeating for me is eating too much at a certain meal or having like in between meal, like a handful of something, that's overeating. A binge for me would be eating an extra like full meal, like having a fifth meal, or going to any kind of binge place and buying with the purpose of wanting to binge and just going at it, like having a mode of food around me and just like giving zero, you know, what's about it, you know? Like, that to me is a binge, and I haven't binged in over 5.5 years and done that, and I mean, I can see the clear distinction between them, you know? And like, but the overeating still gets me a little crazy, honestly, you know? But the binging is more like, I'm done, I give up, and I have not felt like that. So, that answer your question? Okay. All right, that's it. Thanks, guys.